We've had a good time. We enjoy the, honestly, we enjoy the Prophet's Chamber. And since I can pick up that grit channel with all the Westerns on it, this is one of my favorite places to come and preach. So, I had John Wayne last night, two John Wayne movies, but I only watched the last one and part of the first. But who hasn't seen a good John Wayne movie? Your life is... You live too sheltered a life if you've not seen a good John Wayne movie.
Amen.
I mean to tell you, the Lord's in that. The Lord's in you watching John Wayne. So there's one scene, and honestly, sometimes the television is just on. You know the feeling. Sometimes it's just on, and I'm listening because I was. But Leah was working on her computer editing some pictures that she had taken yesterday for you all, and. John Wayne said something to this young man, and it got both of them. He said something about life is rough, but you got to get back up. And Leah spoke up. She said, that's good fatherly advice. That's because John Wayne's a good man. I bet he's in heaven. So anyway, God bless your hearts. All things are lawful. Bible says that all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Well, the Bible. Now, see, those are verses of scripture that you don't hear too many us fundamentalist Baptist preachers preach from.
Right.
Meats for the belly and belly for the meats. You know, it's not what goes into the man that defiles him; it's what comes out.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Paul said in one place. He said. He knows that in himself there's nothing, it is nothing of itself unclean. That's what the Bible says. So I don't mean that, please don't take this to the nth degree. I do not believe in social drinking, period.
Amen. Right.
Casual. I don't believe in casual drinking.
Amen.
Right. It is the one thing in the Bible that has two curses on it. Not just one. The word woe is a curse. I'm saying what I'm about to say just to preface what I'm about to say. The Bible says there's a curse on the consumption of alcohol. Woe unto him that followeth after strong drink.
Yeah.
It's a curse on your life. Have we not seen that?
Sure.
We have to be compassionate and sympathetic and understanding, but these people that believe in social drinking and casual drinking, and then their children become alcoholics. How's that casual drinking working out for you? It's a snake that does not deserve a place in our homes. Okay,
right.
Has a curse on the consumption of it, and has a curse on the sale of it. There's a woe on the fellow that puts strong drink into his neighbor's lip. And for the first time in 75 years. It's been longer than that. For the first time in probably 80 or 90 years, Somerset became wet. And we've noticed. Somerset's just a little town, country, Bible Belt type town. 110 Baptist churches in the whole county. And there's only 60-some-odd thousand people in the county. But it's amazing. And please don't take this wrong either. It's amazing. The minute they set up the bars, how high the crime rate went up.
Yeah.
We're having people murdered in daylight, broad daylight, in a little old town called Pulaski County. God's lifted the hedge. We've allowed the snake in. He's bit us, and the curse is on. Woe unto him that put a strong drink in his neighborhood. I said all that to say this. If there's nothing of itself unclean, that bottle of alcohol is not unclean, right? I had a grandmother, great-grandmother, my dad's grandmother. You didn't run to the drugstore every 15 minutes. You weren't in the emergency room for every sniffle. Teaspoon of honey with a little bit of moonshine. And isn't that what NyQuil is? And she never drank, and she was never, she never drank the stuff, but she would give it to the grandbabies. We always loved going over to her house. There's just something special about being at Granny Wagey's house. So, now see, don't take that. You hear what I said? I said all that I said for 5 minutes so that I could say that. There's nothing of itself that's unclean. I'm not trying to be anything other than just open. There's nothing wrong with a husband-wife relationship.
Right.
It's not dirty.
Right.
It's not dirty. Okay? But the devil always takes it and makes it an unclean thing.
That's right.
You hear me? He always takes something that God made beautiful, and he made it dirty. Okay. So much for that. Just one verse I want you to notice. I want to speak this morning. Who does God speak to? Who does God speak to? No, I don't. Nalton's back there going crazy.
Yeah.
He's about to have
He'd be afraid of you, or he would be out here saying, hey.
Yeah, I you better be afraid. Watching you, boy. All of your children, all of them, yours and Jen, all your children are sweet babies. They've all just lit up when we walked in the room all week long, hugged our necks, and said, where's the suckers? All right, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. I think that's what I want. Yeah, that's what I want. Really, what I want us to notice just one verse, and that's verse 22. Listen to what the Bible says. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets. Which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets. Father in heaven, thank you for the good night's rest. Thank you for the hospitality and generosity of these sweet people. Thank you for the privilege that you've allowed this unworthy servant to have one more time to be with them and for them to love us and us to love them. And once again, Father, we ask you to use this to be a blessing to their hearts and to their lives. May we be able to all say it's been a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. We don't want to be glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord, and then be disappointed when we get there. So Lord, help us not to walk away disappointed. Help us to walk away with something that has encouraged us and strengthened us and maybe even possibly rebuked us and changed us. I love you. I appreciate you. I'm thankful for the privilege to serve you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Notice what the scripture says. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets. Who does God speak to? Who does God speak to? Did you know that this is the beginning? This is the end. This is better put it to what? Better put it this way. This is the end of 400 years of silence.
Right. Yeah.
Adam and Eve. Can you imagine how fortunate they were and how foolish they became? Think about that. Someone said of Solomon, he had it, but he didn't get it. He had all the wisdom, the wisest man in all the world. He had it, but he didn't get it. It just didn't click. And he ends up writing one of the saddest books of the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes. All's vain. All's vain. Comes to the end of his life, and he finds out the conclusion of the whole matter is just obey God. Fear God and obey him. He said, I heaped to myself this and I heaped to myself that and I sought to know this and I sought to know that and I've come to the conclusion much learning will make you mad. A whole bunch of women will make you go stupid. That's exactly what happened. The guy, they turned his heart away from the Lord. But Adam and Eve, I don't want to say perfect, but they were innocent. But they were as perfect as anybody that was on the face of the earth at any time. God made them. And then the Bible says he fellowshipped with them at the cool of the day. Now that means he either showed up just once a day, but I'm of the opinion he showed up twice a day. At the cool of the day. First thing in the morning and last thing in the evening. David said this, three times a day I will praise thee, morning and noon and evening. If there was ever somebody in the Bible that blessed David's heart, we love him to death, but he had a position with God. His name, did you know his name is found more in the Bible than the name Jesus? I'm talking about the name Jesus. All the other names for Christ far outshadows.
Sure.
Emmanuel, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Just the pages of the Bible are replete and full and bursting at the seams of who Jesus is and what Jesus' name is. But just the name David and just the name Jesus, the name David is mentioned more time in the scriptures than the name Jesus. Think about that. God loved him. Now, I think I've said the word addicted, we pointed out Thursday, Friday night, that is only mentioned one time in the Bible. I like stuff like that. Did you know that the word liked, L-I-K-E-D, L-I-K-E-D, is only found one time in the Bible? Only one time, like or likened, but the word L-I-K-E-D is only found one time in the Bible, and guess who uses it? David. And he said, God liked me. Isn't that cool? And God liked me. And I wrote in the margin of my Bible, God loves you, but did he like you? You know, there's some, my daddy always said, we're supposed to love everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have to love some people from afar. I love you, but you stay over there. Okay? I pray for you and I weep, but you just stay over there. But boy, isn't it good when you find somebody you like. You kids look at me, all the kids look at me. Marry your best friend. It's like the old rock and roll song, what's love got to do with it? Fall in love with the person you like. Because you're going to have to spend the rest of your life with them.
That's right.
Listen to me, I don't want to just be loved. I want to be liked. And David said, God liked me. And he said this about David that he didn't say about anyone else. He's a man after my own heart. He had a special place in the heart of God. And God liked him. Not only loved him, but he liked him. They had a fellowship, but something happened. And I'm not trying to get ahead of myself, but something happened. He sinned. Oh, the tragedy of he was a great warrior with God, but he knew, boy, unfortunately, he knew how to sin. And he broke that fellowship. Return unto me the joy of thy salvation. In other words, what he was saying, I want that sweet communion and fellowship that we used to have, Lord, and I don't like this. And Adam and Eve, twice a day, stood at the meeting place where God showed up and they communed. The next day, whatever day that was, however many days that was up to this time, I don't know. But there came a day when the Bible says God showed up and said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, we hid ourselves and we heard your voice. Think about that. We heard your voice and was afraid. They weren't afraid the day before. They were sitting there waiting, standing there waiting to talk to God and have God talk to them. We heard your voice and we're afraid. Who does God speak to? Leonard Ravenhill, I believe it was Leonard Ravenhill or A.W. Tozer, either one of those guys, I don't remember which one. But in teaching John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He said, ask any person who's basically unaware of what the Bible teaches to interpret John 1:1. In the beginning was the what? Word. What does the Bible tell us in Hebrews chapter 11? We believe that the worlds were formed by the Word of God. Spoke it, and let there be light, and guess what? There was light. But ask any basically uneducated person about their interpretation. What do you think that verse of Scripture means? And A.W. Tozer or Leonard Ravenhill, either one of those guys said, generally this is the response you will get. God likes to talk. God must be a talker. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm here to tell you, God likes to talk. But something happened. At the end of Malachi, he went silent.
Yeah.
He went silent. And nobody heard from God for 400 years. Can you imagine someone who likes to talk, not talking? Now that's what you call restraint. Someone who likes to talk, God wants to talk to you. God wants to, what are you grinning about?
Did you keep moving closer to me when you say someone who likes to talk?
That's true, I did. Someone who likes to talk. Bless her heart. She just needs somebody who likes to listen.
I'm still looking.
Huh?
I'm still looking.
You're still looking? Now you got me all messed up, woman. God likes to talk. I knew that much. I like to talk too. Not all the time though. But anyway, God likes to talk. And for 400 years, well, I'm having my dead level best to get to my points, but anyway, God likes to talk. And just a few weeks ago, Joy Behar, did you hear that? She made fun of Mike Pence and said he was psychotic because he testified that God talks to him. She said there must be something wrong with him. Isn't there a psychological disorder for that, that you hear voices? Did you know why I'm in the ministry? Because one day, as a 19-year-old boy on a Sunday night in January, I heard 7 words. I heard 7 words on that. Eaton, Ohio, I can take you to the spot. Can I say something to you about that? When God speaks, you know.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in what he's saying. And people say, God speaks to you. Can I back up and say something about that? God will never ask you to do something that is contrary to that book.
That's right.
But here was a 19-year-old boy getting in the car after church service. On his way to drive back to Richmond, Indiana from Eaton, Ohio, God gets in the front seat of the car with me and says 7 words that literally turned my world upside down. What happened to me 47 years ago, going on 48 years ago, this June the 24th, 1971, I heard 7 words that turned my world upside down. I got in the car, and before I could start it up, I heard 7 words in my heart. I know I'm more scared. They were audible, just as real as I'm talking to you right now. And God said in my heart, that's what I want you to do. I didn't have to say, who is it? When God made Adam, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, Where do we get the word inspiration from? That's in conjunction with that Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration from that particular word where it says theopneustos, the breath of God. God breathed life into that book. God breathed life into that man. And when he opened up his eyes, may I say something to you? He didn't have to go to a school to figure out who it was. It was standing over him. He said, oh God. He knew exactly who he was. And I knew exactly who I knew exactly who was talking to me, and I knew exactly what he wanted me to do. And for the next 6 months, my life went into a tailspin. I ran, I fought it, I begged, I pleaded, I bargained with God. I said, I'll do anything, but don't make me preach. But one day God spoke. Just like he stood out on nothing, spoke into existence everything. He got in the front seat of my car, spoke seven words that is affecting me right this moment.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And how many times has he spoken to this unworthy servant since then? From his Bible, many times. But sometimes I get that impression in my heart. I hear that little voice inside of my head telling me to do something. God likes to talk. And for 400 years, he didn't say a word. Who does God talk to? You know, the first person he talked to when he decided to open up his mouth? When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found of the Holy Ghost with child. And all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord of the Lord by the prophets. Behold, a virgin shall can be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. First person God spoke to was Mary. Why? Because she was clean. She was clean. The Bible said she was a virgin. And when she was told that she was going to have a baby and that she's pregnant, she said, how can this be? I've not known a man. I'm not trying to be anything other than a friend. But we post way too much on Facebook. And I see this stuff that it gets on my news feed. And it's not dirty stuff. I see these people that I've known, some of them since they were kids. That's the tragedy. And now they're full-grown adults in their 20s and 30s, but they haven't lived for God for 20 years or 15
right.
years.
Right.
With a bottle of beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other, thanking God for the good spouse. Or thanking God for answered prayer. And I think to myself, whose God are you talking to? Who's answering your prayers? Because as I said last night, Isaiah said, if I regard iniquity, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And there, in the quietness of her own house, a God who hadn't spoken in 400 years starts talking to her. As I point right at Amory, talking to her. Why? Because she was clean.
Amen.
Keep, the Bible says, thyself clean. The word keep is an old King James word for when you went to the castle, they called it the keep. You ran into the castle, you ran into the keep. And keep your heart like you would put it in a castle. So that the enemy can't storm it and take the wall, take what you put inside the castle to keep. The name of the Lord is a high tower, and we run into it and are safe. Who does God talk to? He talked to Mary because she was clean. Not perfect, but she was clean. Who else does God speak to? The Bible tells us, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example of her, was mindful to put her away privately. He hears she's pregnant. We know a situation where, and I'm like I said, I'm not, this is not even remotely critical. I'm not even being, I'm a father. The problem with my children, you know what the problem with my children is? They're too much like their dad. That scares me.
Yeah, amen.
Amen? I see too much of me in them. And that scares me. Because I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But the problem with my sons is I don't think they've come to that place. And I don't think my grandchildren have come to that place either. That there's just old rotten human flesh capable of doing anything wrong. You name the wrong. I'm looking and you're looking at people who are capable of doing it. Did you hear me? As sweet and as clean and as chaste as these girls are, they are as capable of the vilest stuff any human ever committed. It's there. It's there. I'm not being ugly. For all have sinned.
That's right.
There's none righteous. Hearts deceitful and desperately wicked. And who can know it? The seed's there, Galatians chapter 5, to do everything that is imaginable, that is vile, and you find yourself in the pig pen before you know it. She said, how can this be? I've not known a man. And apparently she tells Joseph, I'm pregnant. And Joseph said, it's not me. I had nothing to do with this. And as I was going to say on the news feed, somebody gets married that had been living with one another for 2 years. Well, why didn't you do it 2 years ago? And then tell everybody on Facebook, I want to thank God for this good man. Well, you should have been thanking him 2 years ago, doing it right.
That's
right. But that's just me, not criticism, because I say that with fear and trembling. Joseph, being a just man, and not willing to make a public example of her, and was willing to put her away privately. Just put her away. Let's not make a fanfare. Let's not be ugly about this. Just put her. Really, if he had sincerely thought she had cheated on him, he had every legal right to have her killed.
That's right.
Said, I don't want to do this. Who does Jesus speak to? Who does God talk to? He talks to Mary because she's clean. Talks to Joseph because he's convincible. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He takes the news that he had received, he ponders it and thinks about it, and he lets the Holy Spirit convince him. You know why some people, God don't talk to some people? Because you won't do what he tells you to do.
That's right. Well, that's true.
Why don't he talk to me?
That's right.
Now, this is a true thing. This is 1974, maybe 1975. So I'm anywhere between 22 and 23 years old. Always taught to honor the aged, respect my elders. And we had a good Christian friend who ran a gas station in Somerset. He'd fix our car sometimes for just parts, and sometimes he'd pay for the parts himself. He said, you're doing the Lord's work with this car? And I said, yes, sir. He said, it's on me. Sometimes he'd fill my tank up with gas.
Amen.
Not charging me a dime. But he loved to talk. And that was fine. And some of the stuff he said was good. But one day he had his head inside the under the hood of my car. And I'm standing there watching him work on my car, whatever the problem was in 1975, 76. And he raised his head. And he said, you know, 110 Baptist churches in Pulaski County. And he said this. He said, you know, there's not a pastor in this county that I believe can teach me. That's what he said. Now remember, it's not my place to rebuke him. He's my elder. But you know what I said to him? Which if he'd have listened, he'd have known I was telling something. Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, you're probably right. Because with an attitude like that, nobody can teach you.
Right.
I didn't say that last part, but with an attitude like that, nobody can teach you. And I have a problem with anybody that can come and sit in a Baptist church where the Word of God's preached and say, I'm not being fed. God ain't speaking to me here. It might be because you can't be convinced. It might be because you're not clean. Can I give you a third group of people God talks to? Now, when Jesus was born in Judea, the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem saying, where is he? Is born of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east and have come in to worship him. And the Bible tells us in verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream, they should return to Herod, and they departed unto their own country another way. Who does God speak to? He spoke to Mary because she was clean, spoke to Joseph because he was convincible, and he spoke to the wise men because they were curious. They wanted to know. And I want to back up. Remember the 400 years of silence? Get this, please get this. This is important that you and I get this. When they came to Herod and said, we've seen his star. We've come to worship the king of the Jews. The Bible says all Jerusalem was filled with fear, and Herod himself was full of fear. And he calls Donald for the scribes and the Pharisees. Guess what time period the scribes and Pharisees were born in? During that 400 years of silence. Out of 400 years of never hearing from God, we get the most overpious, condemnative, critical bunch of religionists that the world has ever seen, and they finally nail Jesus Christ, the Word of God, to an old rugged cross and say, out with this man, we'll not hear him. Better hang on to that one. I told Brother Brindley this the other day. We as parents are so afraid that our children will become prodigals that we're content if they become an elder brother. We're content that they become an elder brother. And the elder brother was the scribes and the Pharisees who wanted nothing to do with Christ. And they said, he said, where is it? And they searched, they said, well, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem, Ephrata. Not like this. They knew the scriptures, but they didn't have the spirit. God wasn't talking to them. Isn't that good? They had information, but they didn't have any inspiration. They had the law, but they weren't listening. They knew where Christ was supposed to be born, but God wasn't talking to them. 1,000 miles away, there were some wise men, and God talked to them because they were searching the scriptures. The whole thing was part of what they were studying, the astrology and the scriptures, and said, that star represents this guy found here in the book of Isaiah. And traveled all that distance. So when they needed to be warned, God spoke to them because they were curious. Don't ever lose your appetite for the Word of God. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. Who does God speak to? He spoke to Mary because she was clean, spoke to Joseph because he was convincible, spoke to the wise men because they were curious, and he spoke to the shepherds. Remember the shepherds? Now this is too cool. Luke tells us. Lost my place. That's what happens when you get old. Now there were abiding. Why did God speak to the shepherds? Now there were abiding in the same country. Shepherds abiding. Now there were shepherds in the same country abiding in the fields. You know why God spoke to the shepherds? Because they were close. In the same country. He's talked to that specific group of shepherds because they weren't too far from Bethlehem. And what does Bethlehem mean? What does the word Bethlehem mean? House of bread. What is this? The bread of life. What is this? The house of God. This should be the house of bread. You know why we come to church? This one here? Because it's close. That's pretty good preaching for an old, dead, drying up Baptist preacher. You know, it's kind of hard for God not. Now listen to me. I do believe God can speak to you. He's not limited to these four walls.
Right.
But it sure is nice to come to church because we're supposed to be here.
Yeah. That's right.
And do not speak this too loudly because somebody's going to hear you say it. I'm just not getting fed down there. Well, it's been 6 months since you were here. Amen? We have to learn your name every time you come. Give you a visitor's card because we don't know who you are. You look familiar. You know why God spoke to the shepherds? Because they were close. I got two more, and I will be done. I promise you, I will be done. And the angel said unto him, Zacharias, fear not, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou, you know, for someone who hadn't talked for 400 years, he sure is talking a lot now to everybody he can listen, that'll listen to him. There's Zacharias. He was praying to God. God sent an angel and told him, I've heard your prayers.
Amen.
You know why God was talking to Zacharias? Because Zacharias was already communicating with him. They were already on speaking terms. What did I preach on last night? Prayer. Simple as that. God will talk to you if you'll take time to talk to him. God spoke to Zacharias because Zacharias was already communicating with God. And every time I turned around, I was putting this sermon together. This is a relatively new sermon for me. I was thinking of someone would come to my mind. Well, I didn't put him in there. I just had the first four, Mary, Joseph, the wise men. Just the first, they were the first three. And then I got to think, well, you know, he talked to Zacharias. And there was a guy by the name of Simeon. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now listen to this. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, they brought Christ in after his 8 days, he was being circumcised. And that Holy Spirit said, go inside the temple. Go inside the temple. And pardon me if I sound carnal and you think I've watched too much television. But Jesus of Nazareth, one of my favorite Jesus movies. Leaning against one of the pillars of the temple was this old man. And all of a sudden, a baby cries. And as that baby was coming out of the temple, he said, hold it there. And he took the baby out of Mary's arms and said, I can die now. For my eyes have seen God's Christ.
Amen.
You know why he got to see? Because he was led by the Holy Ghost. Bible says Simeon was spoken to because he was controlled by the Spirit. And when he has come, he will lead all men into truth. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this fact that it does speak and stirred my heart. And I was preaching. But Lord, you spoke to my heart. Speak to us. Open up our hearts and our minds. I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.